I want to create a little scenario for you, okay? And may this scenario never come true, but just imagine the scenario just for a little bit. You come back from work and your families gather around the dinner table. And you make a very significant announcement. You tell your family that you just lost your job. May this never come true, but just imagine it for a moment. And you are the breadwinner for the family. You have serious questions in your minds about payments and mortgage and bills and insurance and all these kinds of things, right? So dinner is over, and all this is still in your mind rather strongly. And your son or your daughter comes running to you and says, "Dad, Dad, I want you to give me whatever I want this Christmas." What would your mind go to? Didn't you hear what I just said? Right? And I'm sure this has happened to families, especially over the last couple of years. People lose jobs, and I'm sure children are not that insensitive, but what I'm trying to do is to understand what James and John were trying to tell Jesus in today's gospel reading. Let me create the context for the question that they asked. We want you to do for us whatever we ask you. The way the Gospel of Mark is written, chapter 8, 9, and 10 kind of form the central section of the Gospel. And some very important things happen starting chapter 8. Jesus asks the question to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And then when they answer who people say that he is, he asks them the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter makes that confession. Remember, "You are the Messiah, the one who is to come into the world." The moment Peter makes that confession, Jesus begins to talk about his death and his resurrection. But particularly about his death, that he would suffer, that he would be put to death, and then that he would rise. His mind is heavy, perhaps heavier than the person or the parent that comes home and tells their child, "I've lost my job." Three times, Jesus tells his disciples that he would die, that he must suffer. And here comes James and John. And like that child who does not understand the parent's seriousness, says, "Lord, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And I wonder what Jesus thought or felt. Everything that I've spoken about my death, my suffering, does that have no implication for these disciples? Jesus did not live his life from, "Lord, please do for me whatever I ask you," that perspective. Jesus never lived his life. In fact, he said the opposite. "Not my will, but thine be done." So, I want to just throw three very brief points out there for us to reflect upon in prayer this week. Jesus talks about his struggles, what's impending, what's coming. He has the resurrection in mind, but he knows what's coming. Struggles. Each one of us has them. I can share with you what I'm struggling with these days. The other day, I went and prayed with a very young mother. She has three young children, and a doctor has given her 1 month to live. My American dad. And what I mean by that is, there is a family when I first came, just took me in like that. No questions asked. Took a foreigner, took a stranger in. My first Christmas in the United States, my first Thanksgiving was in their home. So I call him my American dad. Last Sunday, we discovered that he has colon cancer. A very, very good friend of mine has just finished her chemotherapy. Hopefully, there will not be remission. In the last couple of days, I've spoken to two couples who are trying to rebuild their lives after infidelity in their marriage. And I'll tell you, those conversations are so hard. And because I feel people's pain, I feel like that pain is mine. So these are my struggles. I also know numerous families whose financial burdens have driven them to the food pantry. And how humbling that is, huh? And then I have my own struggles. My mom and dad, gosh, I struggle every day of being so far away. I call home every day. Dad is 86. Mom is 78. I call home every day. And the anxiety about my aging parents, their health. I'm also concerned that what if one of them, you know, passes away? What will I do to take care of my mom or my dad? And I'm sure you have your own struggles. And I want you to put up your hands if you are one of those people who has never prayed, "Lord, please, I want you to do for me whatever I ask you." Sometimes our struggles are so intense, that's exactly what we want, isn't it? When I prayed for this mother, what do you think I'm praying? It's hard to pray, "Lord, thy will be done." I'm praying, "Dear God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to heal her. I want her to be there for her children's beautiful events that are coming up, graduations and weddings." And so it's easy for us to ridicule James and John, but I've been there. I do it even now. It's easy to understand how in the midst of struggles we might say, "Dear God, I want you to do whatever I ask you to do." It's a human cry. Secondly, for me, the reality of the Christian scripture comes partly because of the story it tells. See, the Christian story is not a glamorous story. And neither is it afraid of struggles. It's not afraid of sufferings. Today's first reading is from Isaiah. What does it say? "Because of his affliction, he shall see light in the fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many." Our Christian story tells a story where suffering and struggle have a purpose. We don't try to isolate the story of salvation from all the suffering in the world. We don't. Jesus, 3 times he predicts his passion. He's not afraid to talk about his suffering and death. And Jesus invites James and John to be part of that lifestyle. To drink the cup that he will drink, and to be baptized with the baptism with which he will be baptized. So I know that our instinctive approach to life is, "Lord, please, could you please set this all straight for me? Life would be so much easier." But Jesus is telling us it doesn't work that way. Rather, struggle and suffering have a role to play in our lives. Without our struggles, we wouldn't be who we are today. Yes, is it hard? Yeah. Could we do without them? For sure. But we wouldn't be the same people, especially when families struggle together. Gosh, it can bring us so close to, it can tear us apart too. But struggles have the potential within them to bring out the best in us. It's our struggle that builds faith and our character, our strength, our courage, our endurance, and our beliefs. Our struggle helps us to empathize with others. How would we know what someone feels unless I feel it? Our struggle helps us to be committed, to be hardworking, to be generous, to be compassionate people. As I said, sometimes struggle can bring out the worst in us, but most often it brings out the best. So today, if we feel like being James and John, which I said is understandable, Jesus is asking us to just lift up our vision and look beyond our struggles. And so I have to do that in my own prayer. And if you're struggling today, Jesus is asking us to just look beyond it. There is something beautiful to be accomplished in our struggles. Now, in the midst of our struggles and in our strife, I want you to hear this statement from today's second reading. The author of the letter to the Hebrews says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness." We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. He understands. He's been through it. If we are struggling, he knows it. Because he's not unable to empathize with our struggles. So, let us approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. So I believe, this is how I interpret James and John's statement, "Lord, please do for us." I find that statement to be a statement full of confidence. Who else would I go to but my father and say, or my mother and say, "I want you to give me whatever I want for Christmas"? Who else would I go to? Who else would these people go to except Jesus and say, "Please do for us whatever we ask you"? I think it shows their confidence in God. Were they being immature? Perhaps. But it shows their confidence in God. Perhaps they were looking for the easy way out, but I admire the confidence of James and John. They were simply being themselves in God's presence. James and John teach me to approach God with confidence. James and John teach me not to hide from God or to be afraid of being stupid in God's presence. If I want to be stupid, I want to be stupid in God's presence. And James and John teach me that. Yes, life is hard, but I can be myself in God's presence. I can approach the throne of grace without being afraid of who I am. And so I would hope that in the midst of whatever our life is like right now, that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Our struggles and our sufferings are not meaningless. They have purpose, but we need strength. And so with confidence, we approach the throne of grace. And what do we get? Grace and timely help. May God be with every person who's struggling with me. May God be with that mother, be with my parents. May God be with you if you are struggling. May we find timely help and grace. People of God said, Amen. Amen.